other frameworks, they already do have accessibility, so why not to put this on Tizen? Yeah, there are certain different accessibility standards for Linux. Is one major one, the ATSPI. But about these things and about the technicalities, well, that thing, I will hand over the mic to my colleague. So, Krzysztof, well, the mic is yours.
The elementary is a widget toolkit that is part of the Enlightenment Foundation libraries, which are used in the Tizen platform. Actually, there are some built-in accessibility support in the elementary. To activate this feature, the Elm access mode environment variable has to be set to 1. After it's enabled, interactive widgets like buttons glow when they are over the mouse or selected by finger. Additionally, when L modules variable is set to the value that you can see on the slide, the text and the type of currently selected widget gets read by a voice synthesizer. Unfortunately, the built-in accessibility is not configurable, and even if it will be continuously improved by elementary developers, the maturity curve of such solution will be flat as compared to numerous assistive technologies that cooperate with accessibility standards. So why not to use a standard and have all this assistive technology software ready to use? It will also give an open way to implement assistive technology for other interesting use cases, such as translating applications on the fly.
Yeah, or the things I mentioned before. So, yeah.
Yes.
Or you can come up with any other ideas.
The ATSPI stands for Assistive Technology Service Provider Interface. It's an interface between the user applications and user desktop and the assistive technologies. It originates from the GNOME desktop environment. However, it was designed to be toolkit agnostic. It means that it can communicate assistive technologies with applications built using any widget toolkit that supports the standard. The list of currently supported standards is here on the slide. What are the benefits of using ATSPI? First of all, there are many existing and well-recognized solutions that base on ATSPI, such as Orca, the screen reader. ATSPI also can provide one accessibility interface for both types of applications that are available on Tizen, native elementary ones and the HTML5 applications.
Yeah, that's why we believe it's so important to provide ATSPI there, because if we provide ATSPI for both elementary and HTML5, then basically we have one common interface for all applications. So whatever, if you use the application, you write your application in HTML5, or you write your application in Enlightenment Foundation libraries, the same level of support for accessibility will be there, and the same assistive technologies can be used to access your application.
Yes, precisely. There is another benefit that ATSPI allows interoperability between assistive technology. The architecture of ATSPI is divided into three layers. First, the application layer that consists of user applications. The ATSPI provides a set of toolkit-independent interfaces called ATK, which are used, which give access to application widgets. And these interfaces have to be implemented for the widget toolkits. as you can see on the slide, the Gale, the Kali, NSI accessible for Mozilla Suite, and the ATK implementations can be done in two ways, with or without the ATK bridge component, which if it's used, it handles the inter-process communication between ATK and the ATSPI registry component, which is in the platform layer. The next.
And we believe that we should use bridge in this case because it also keeps all the dependencies away from the framework. So
yes. The ATSPI registry is keeps track of accessible applications, and it's used by the assistive technologies to discover applications and send queries. And there's the assistive technology layer with screen readers, on-screen keyboards, magnifiers, and so on. And the role of ATK interfaces is to provide accessible object types for all the widgets in an application. The ATK object interface is the most basic one that should be implemented for all the widgets, and it handles parent and child relations, getting name, role, description, and set of states, relations, and attributes of a widget. And there's the ATK component interface for those widgets that have a visual representation on a screen. ATK text for widgets that have a textual content like labels, buttons, text edits, and so on. The ATK action should be implemented for those widgets on which some actions can be taken, like click, press, release, jump, and these are, for example, buttons, text edits, or checkboxes. The ATK value is the interface that should be implemented for widgets that have a numeric value, like sliders, spin boxes. And there are also many more interfaces, but I don't have enough time to describe them all right now. So we go on to the next slide. The ATSPI has been evolving over the years. The first version used CORBA for inter-process communication. And CORBA is a quite deprecated technology. For this reason, the first version of ATSPI is not developed anymore. And there's a second version, the ATSPI2, that uses DBuzz instead of CORBA. It's a stable version, and it's under continuous development.
And it's very good because basically we get rid of all the dependencies of CORBA, and the DBuzz is already there in Tizen, so basically we don't have to add a lot of dependencies.
Yes, and it is compatible with the previous version. Now I'm going to say a couple of words about what to do to run the ATSPI on Tizen. A couple of components have to be ported. First, the ATSPI binaries. There is the libATSPI2. It's a shared library for applications that wish to use the ATSPI protocol. There are also two DBuzz services. The first, the ATSPI bus launcher that creates and maintains a special accessibility bus that is used to talk with applications.
Using inter-process communication.
Yes, using the ATSPI interface. And the second one, the ATSPI2 registry D. It's a daemon that keeps track of the accessible applications. And as I said before, it is used by the assistive technologies to discover applications. There are also some development files, and these are the sources that need to be included when implementing an assistive technology application. And the tasks to do include also to provide the dependencies, which are listed on the slide.
And create packaging, but basically most of the dependencies are already there, so it shouldn't be a case.
Yes, and also create a RPM package for the components. Next, there is the ATK library, which is the runtime part of the ATK. It is needed for specialized ATK implementations to operate. And the development files are those sources that are need to be included by the ATK implementations. And the tasks are quite
much
the same as for the ATSPI binaries. There's also the ATK bridge, also known as ATK adapter, that I talked about just a moment ago. And
It's not required, but we believe it's much better to have it because of the dependencies.
The next step is to create a library with the ATK implementation for the elementary. We called it EAL, Enlightenment Accessibility Implementation Library. And the name was inspired by the GALE, which is the accessibility implementation for the NAM environment.
And it also follows the role of all the EFL libraries, right? So it's just supposed to fit.
Yes. What the library does, it loads the ATK bridge, integrates the glib and ecore event loops, and implements the ATK interfaces, which include the core functionality, which is providing the root accessible object for the application, the factory function that creates specialized accessible object types that for application widgets, the basic widget type, and specialized widget types for representing the widgets of application. And also, there will be an initialization function provided. Apart from the ATK interfaces that give access to widgets, there is also one interface that the ATK util that provides such functionality like getting toolkit name, version, getting the root accessible object, and some functions for registering and unregistering event listeners.
I hope you can see it because, well, here we have the screen is a little bit blurry, but, well, otherwise the slides will be published after the conference soon.
If you can see it, there's sample implementations of those methods, simply getting name, version from the elementary API and retrieving the root application object that has a root that has top level application windows as children. The EAU factory get accessible is a function that creates specialized accessible objects for a given Evas objects. It checks the type of the given widget and creates accessible object that corresponds to the
So we are basically the mirroring the whole tree of the widgets in the UI into the accessibility tree. So you have this one-to-one match.
The EA widget is the base type of all accessible objects. It implements the ATK object and ATK component. It has get and children and ref child methods are left unimplemented because they are the implementation is provided by the more specialized types. The get parent, get name are implemented using corresponding functions from the elementary and Avast API. There is also the ref state set that creates and returns a basic set of states that describe the object, like its visibility, focus, and so on.
We have to speed it up a little bit.
Okay. Now there is also some function to getting attributes. There are some the specialized accessible widgets are created by the factory functions function, as I said before. They can implement more than one ATK interface if it fits the actual widget. The ref child and get and children are implemented using either the API, using either the API of component widgets of the elementary, or by the Elm object part content get function for those widgets that have default content, or by using low-level Avast functions for the win widget that does not provide such function to get children. And more states and attributes are added also. The EA library will not be part of the elementaries, and since that, it will be loaded on demand. And there are three ways of achieving this. First, by implementing it as an alternative to the access output, which is a part of the internal accessibility. It has one small advantage that the elementary sources that, do not need to be modified. And two major disadvantages that the module stays inactive until some interaction is done in the application. And the second, that the internal accessibility have to be enabled.
Yeah, and we just don't want to move, to mix those things. So either you want to enable the internal accessibility or the external one, or you want to enable them both. But, well, do not mix them together. Not at once, yeah, with one setting.
The second approach is to load the library directory from the application code, and it is not a good idea.
Because basically we would have to force all the application developers to load the library, which means that mostly none of them would do it, so mostly majority of the application would be inaccessible.
And the third and the preferred way is to create a gate inside elementary. It will require to apply a patch on elementary sources that puts loading and initializing the EA library into the Elm run function. The library will be loaded only when the Elm accessibility environment variable is set, and the advantages.
So the only issue is here that the small patch has to be added to elementary, but apart from that, everything works great.
Yes. There are some issues related to elementary
Yeah, make the implementation a little bit too difficult because, well, some APIs, they are not exposed, maybe some don't exist. Well, I see the person here who can a little bit change something in this case. If we can go on with the implementation, most likely we will discuss also this with Raster. So what can we do about those issues to make it easier? But there are issues, there are no APIs for accessing the widget children, so we had to work it around. There are problems with, for example, clicking on the button and so on and so forth.
Yes, before we get on to the quick demo, I will say a couple of words about the accessibility support for WebKit. The HTML5 applications in Tizen are rendered using the EFL port of WebKit, and the ATK interfaces for WebKit have already been implemented in the WebKit GTK project.
Majority of them.
Yes. And when the ATSPI will be available on Tizen, it will be a quite simple task to also port the ATK for WebKit. Yes, now I'm going to show you.
Yeah. So to show that it actually really works, we'll switch to the current installation of the... Yeah. So
yes. I'm going to run an elementary demo.
So this is a standard demo from Enlightenment. We haven't changed any single line of code in the demo.
Yes. And
in the application,
we set the elementary support, the accessibility support. Yeah.
The screen is a little bit too tight. We hope that it's going to be wider, so it would be easier to show it well, everything to you, but we have to fit.
It's something like a widget gallery, the demo application. And here is a tool, an accessibility explorer, which shows
the Accessizer. This is pretty known tool for Accessizer. Those guys who really know what accessibility is. So it's a pretty known tool.
And our application is here. As you can see, there is.
So this is a whole tree of accessibility. So all the applications, there are actually GNOME
are
applications which are visible, but also there is this one Enlightenment EFL application at the very.
This is the window. Some background and some you cannot see it because
the screen is not quite. As you can see, well, Accessizer has this nice feature that it highlights the widgets, which is actually accessed in the tree. So when Krzysztof is clicking on each and every widget in the tree, it highlights the widgets.
Yes.
So it highlights the label, the text,
the
input,
text entry, button.
The button, and so on. So it actually works remotely. So you can remotely connect to the widgets in your application without changing your application at all.
Now I'm switching to the next tool, Tadek UI, which is part of our... automated testing framework.
Yeah. So that tool is also has this ability to browse the accessibility tree. And also run the automated test cases later on. But let's say that we start. So well, the Accessizer allows you to browse the tree. Tadek also allows you to invoke actions on the widgets. So we are now trying. We will try to show you how actually to change something in the text input field, how to click on the button, and so on and so forth.
We have some problems.
Yeah, they're refreshing.
Yes. There's a window, and I'm going to find the text entry widget and change its text. Yes, here it is. It's a text entry.
Yeah.
It's editable.
So the all data about the text field is there on the right side, but, well, you have no space on the screen.
Yes. Here we can change the text to... I type the word button.
Or 3D maybe, because we will want you to...
Button will work
okay.
As well. And
Yes. So you can see, well, remotely we have changed the content of the...
And there's the go button. I'm going to click it using Tadek UI. And there is no action
If there would be the API to click the button,
yes. No,
then we would have implemented this, well, the action click on this. But then there is no that API, so we have to invoke actually the hardware event on the mouse on XY coordinates.
Yes, the coordinates are already here.
Yeah, and the coordinates are also taken from the accessibility. So basically you also have the whole information about all the positions of all your widgets on the screen.
Yes.
As you can see, the button has been clicked, and the...
And the sections which contain the word button are left here.
So basically, we can remotely control the application. That's what we use for automated testing. And the Tadek works in this way. Actually, well, you don't have to click like that. You just write the scripts, which will execute all those steps for you. And then, of course, you can create the very complicated scenarios this way. And then, of course, you can get the status of each and every widget and compare it with your reference data without any screenshot comparison, without any, well, sophisticated tools to check the actual status of the UI. You can simply check what happens and then perform your automated testing. If you are interested also in the automated testing and other tools, well, let me know after the after the presentation. We can talk more about this, or just go to this tadek.comarch.com webpage. Everything is there, and we have to end now. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions, we are here to quickly answer them. No questions? Oh, I'm afraid of that question. Yeah, that was done by Accessizer. So Accessizer just shows, well, highlights the position on the screen.
It's done inside client application or outside?
No, no. Outside.
Outside. Okay. Completely.
On the desktop.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, maybe? Yes, please. Yes, that's what we wanted to achieve, and also for the for WebKit.
Okay, so pretty much the app is depend on the app developer to support the app.
No, if you have this implemented in this way, like we described, the developer doesn't have to do anything. Just use Elementary, and if the application is started when this variable, system variable is set, or any other way, which maybe well the Elementary developers decide to do, then you'll get the accessibility automatically. And that's the beauty of that solution. Basically, you don't have to do anything. Of course, if you want to be fully accessible, because this is just providing the interface to the widget, but if you want to create your application to be as much accessible as possible for the disabled, you also have to think about the way how the application is designed. So, well, what and where to put on the screen. We cannot interfere with this. But at least the interaction with the accessibility technology, software, and hardware can be simply done with this way without any additional effort from your side. Yeah, but this is a standard configuration. It's done exactly the same way like it's done. I don't have actually Orca installed here. Well, the same way like the, well, just for example, install Ubuntu. I think in current Ubuntu, Orca is pre-installed by default. Just turn on Orca, and it will basically configure also the whole accessibility automatically for you because Orca does it nowadays. So it's just out of the box. Okay. Other questions? Okay, if not, thank you very much. Thank you for your
time.
Thank you.